Here's Pastor Brian as he continues his study on homosexuality.
This week we are continuing our study on the subject of homosexuality. And in this study we will be looking at a couple of verses, one in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and going back to Romans chapter 1 that I believe are so clear that anyone just simply reading the Bible would be able to understand that God condemns the lifestyle of homosexuality. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, I believe it is clear as it can possibly be. It says this, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." And so here it clearly says that homosexuals nor sodomites will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, first of all, it's not talking about an individual that committed this sin once or twice or has fallen into this temptation, but it's talking about the individual that practices these things, that this is their lifestyle. This is what characterizes them. Just like the example here of someone that's a thief. If someone steals once, it doesn't mean that they cannot inherit the kingdom of God. God is able to forgive and to cleanse and to wash. But it's talking about that person that lives this lifestyle, will not repent, and then even those that would justify that lifestyle. And so we need to look at this portion of Scripture. Now, some may say, well, why are you singling out this particular sin? Isn't there other sins mentioned? Well, yes, there are other sins mentioned in this portion of Scripture, but you don't find churches for drunkards saying, it's okay, God made me this way, or I was born this way. Or you don't find the church of thieves down on the corner saying, well, we're born with a desire to steal, and so the Scriptures do not condemn this. This is our natural instinct or natural desire. But you do find within the church this infiltration of those that are saying homosexuality is normal, people are born that way, and we shouldn't address the subject. That's why this particular issue is being addressed on our programs. Now, as you read that, it says no homosexuals or sodomites will inherit the kingdom of God. Obviously, that's a pretty clear passage that those in that lifestyle will not be in heaven. They are not saved, no matter what they may claim. And even some try and use the Bible, even use this passage to show that homosexuality is not being condemned. What they say is that these two words, homosexuals or sodomites, actually refer to those that are prostitutes, prostituting themselves as homosexuals or as sodomites. And so they'll try and look up the Greek words and try and give them another definition rather than those that are sodomites or homosexuals. And so what I did is I did a little study and I went to who are probably the greatest authorities on the subject of the Greek language. There is a lexicon, which is a dictionary of Greek words, which gives us the English meaning of these Greek words. And the first word, homosexuals, there in verse 9, is the Greek word malakos. And it literally means soft to the touch and was used to describe the man passive in a sexual relationship with another man. Artin Gingrich, who supervised probably the best lexicon, give it this definition. Men and boys who allow themselves to be misused homosexually. Thayer, who also supervised another excellent lexicon, gave these following definitions. Effeminate, a male who submits his body to unnatural lewdness, which obviously is a broader term than just homosexuality, but would include homosexuality. So this first word, homosexual, malakos, is describing the individual that is more effeminate within a male-to-male relationship. Then the second word, the word sodomites, is the Greek word that comes from literally the word a male in a bed or the one who is active in a homosexual relationship. Thayer breaks up the word and describes it this way. One who lies with a male as with a female, a sodomite. Artin Gingrich once again give the definition, a male who practices homosexuality or a sodomite. So there you have some of the top scholars giving it the definition that it would include homosexuality, the first word describing the person that's effeminate in the relationship, the second word describing the one that is more dominant or the male within the relationship. Both references referring to the practice of homosexuality, and it says very clearly that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I take no joy in saying that. I don't have any bent or anger towards homosexuals, but what I do want to communicate is that we in the church, we can't be duped into listening to their lies, their twisting of the scripture, as Peter said, that there's those who twist the scripture to their own destruction. That's exactly what these individuals are doing. They may want to try and go into the Greek and use fancy definitions, but the bottom line is that, yes, you can look into the Greek, and it does describe the sin of homosexuality. And it says, those will not inherit the kingdom of God. Also, going over to Romans chapter 1, as we looked at in our previous studies, here is a description of God giving people over to sinful practices found in verses 24 through 28. It's because they've rejected the truth. It says, therefore, God gives them over to their own desires, their own sins. Now, those that are the pro-homosexual community want to interpret this portion of Scripture as not applying to the homosexuals today, or those that were born, as they claim, with a desire to be in a relationship with the same sex. They say that applies to only those who are born with heterosexual desires and violate those desires and then practice the sin of homosexuality. Nothing can be further from the truth. And what I want to do is look at these words that are used in this section to describe this wrongful sort of desires, these lusts as Paul describes them. And there's six of them found in verses 24 through 32. And in verse 24, it says, therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness or impurity. It's a Greek word which means a general term for uncleanness and was used of decaying matter, especially the contents of the grave. So obviously the setting here is one of death, destruction, something that takes away from life, something that strips away from God's original intention for a person's life. Then down in verse 26, it says, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. And again, this is where he's going to describe homosexuality. And the word vile means degrading, dishonoring, shameful. It's because man was not created to have a sexual relationship with a man. A woman was not created to have sexual relationships with another woman. So it's degrading, it's dishonoring. It is not God's original purpose or plan. So it falls short. It's shameful what individuals are doing with these sorts of passions. Then the word passion itself is where we get the word pathos, or the word passions here is a Greek word pathos, where we from our English derive the word pathological. And Thayer, he gives it the definition of ungovernable desire. So here is a degrading, dishonoring, shameful desire that is controlling the individual. It is out of control. They're not able to keep it in check. And that's because God gives them over to these desires because they have rejected the truth. And so the setting, the context of Romans chapter 1 is talking about degrading and dishonoring desires. Let's look at the next one, which is found in verse 27, which says, likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust. Literally, the word means to be inflamed. It's a burning lust that these individuals have, and they commit. Also in verse 27 says, what is shameful? So obviously the act is shameful and degrading and dishonoring. There's two other words that we need to look at. One in verse 28, which says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. The Greek word is adikamos, which means not standing the test, and was used of metals that were rejected by refiners due to impurities. It was also used of coins that were substandard. They were tossed aside. So the metals and the coins were tossed aside. The impure metals were then worthless and useless. And that's what happens to the mind that is controlled by these sort of degrading passions and desires. It becomes worthless and useless. And it's not functioning properly. It's being governed by these uncontrollable desires, these strong passions. And so it's talking about desires that are out of control, that are degrading. In our last study, I did quote to you that in a study that was given in relationship to promiscuity of the homosexuals, said that 43 admitted to having sex with over 500 partners. That's not a normal desire. That is ungovernable desires. And 28% admitted to having sexual relationships with over 1,000 partners. And that only 2% said that they were with less than 10. So here is a shameful, degrading passion that is actually controlling individuals that God is saying is degrading, dishonoring. It is not what God has created us for, to honor him in our bodies and in our mind and in our spirits. Denny, who wrote a commentary in the book of Romans, describes the depraved mind or the debased mind as this: a man in which the definite distinction between right and wrong are confused and lost. So there's no way that this passage that Paul talks about men leaving the natural use of the woman and burned in their heart with women, that is anywhere you could look at that and say that's natural or normal. And then the bottom line here is in verse 32, and this is where this sin comes to its worst state, where he says this, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, listen to this, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So now it's not only that an individual says, I'm going to do whatever I want in the privacy of my own life. Now it says they approve of others in the same sort of lifestyle. And the word approve, which here is translated in the New King James Version, I think is a little bit mild. I think the King James brings it out perfectly. And it's translated this way, have pleasure in them that do them. And also the New English Bible translates it this way, applaud such practices. The point is that they not only do they do those things, but they actively encourage the behavior in others. And that's exactly what I believe is taking place within the homosexual community. They are approving of others. They are encouraging others. This is normal and acceptable. But it says here, they know the righteous judgment of God, and those who do such things are worthy of death. Talking about eternal death, eternal separation. And that's where we started, that those who live this sort of lifestyle will not inherit the kingdom of God. And now we have not only those that practice this sin, but now are applauding the others that do the same thing. And so it just leads to death. And so we're warned here within the scriptures not to compromise the word of God, that this is a sin that I believe will grow in our society as well as, unfortunately, within the walls of the church. And so we do need to be able to give a ready defense for the answer and the hope that lies within us. We need to be able to refute the false claims that groups are going to say that this is normal, acceptable, and that the Bible approves of it. As Paul said in 2 Timothy, there's coming that day where people will not listen to sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will heap up teachers for themselves because they have itching ears. That's exactly what's taking place. So we need to stand firm in the truth in this day and age where people are heaping up teachers because they have itching ears.